Chapter 8. The Holy Name.
If it is to be effective, the sound of the holy name of Krishna must have a divine quality. The holy name of Krishna, which is infinite, can do away with everything undesirable within us. But the name must be invested with a real spiritual conception. It must not be a mere physical imitation produced only by the help of the lip and tongue. That sound is not the holy name. If it is to be genuine, the holy name of Krishna, Hari, Vishnu or Narayan must be Vaikuntha Nam. It should have spiritual existence, divine backing. That principle is all in all in vibrating the holy name. We are concerned with sound vibration that has spiritual depth. The physical imitation of the holy name is not the name proper. It is not Shabda Brahma, divine sound. Only imitation sound may come from the plane of mundane conception. The holy name of Krishna means divine sound. It must have some spiritual background. Something spiritual must be distributed through the physical sound. In the case of a capsule of medicine, the capsule is not the medicine. The medicine is within. Externally, one capsule may look like another, but within one capsule there may be medicine, within another there may be cyanide. The capsule itself is not the medicine. So it is not the sound of Krishna's name that is Krishna. Krishna is within the sound. The holy name must be surcharged with the proper spirit, not any mundane sentiment. Even the followers of the impersonal Shankara school have faith that the name is not confined within the jurisdiction of physical sound. They consider it to be within the mental plane, within the plane of sattva gun. Unfortunately, they think that the holy name is the product of maya or misconception, and so they conclude that the names of Hari, Krishna, Kali and Shiva are all one and the same. The Ramakrishna Mission and the Shankara school both preach in that way. But that conception also has its origin in the plane of misunderstanding. The divine sound of the pure name, Shuddha Nam, must have its origin beyond the area of misconception or maya. The extent of maya is up to the highest planet in the material world, Satyalok. Beyond Satyalok is the Viraja River and the world of consciousness, Brahmalok, and then the spiritual sky, Parabhyom. The pure name of Krishna must have its origin in Parabhyom, the spiritual sky. And if we are to examine it further, the holy name of Krishna really comes from the most original plane of all existence, Braja, Golok. According to this understanding, the sound must have its origin in the highest plane of the spiritual world in Vrindavan, if it is to be considered the genuine Krishna name. The mere physical sound is not the holy name of Krishna. A true conception of the holy name is necessary, not only to free us from this world of misconception, but also for the attainment of service to Krishna in Vrindavan. Only that true name of Krishna, which has its origin in the plane of Vrindavan, can lift us up and take us there. Otherwise, although the spirit is within the name, if the sound we vibrate is based on any other conception, it may only take us to that layer of conception. This is quite scientific. It is not unreasonable. The mere word Krishna is not the holy name. What is important is the meaning of that sound and the depth of meaning, the deep conception of the meaning of the name. That is everything. It is all important in serving our purpose. There's a nice story that illustrates this point. When our spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was a young boy, both he and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, went to visit the holy place of Kulinagram, which is located in the Hooghly district near Calcutta. Kulinagram was a village where the great devotee Haridas Thakur, as well as other famous Vaishnavas, used to live, and was the home of four generations of devotees. They went to visit that ancient holy place, and just on the outskirts of Kulinagram, as they were entering the village, they passed by an old temple. Suddenly, a man came out of the temple and humbly asked them, "Please stay the night here. In the morning you may enter the village and take darshan of all the places there." Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Guru Maharaj, who at that time was a young boy, stayed the night in that temple house. Just after nightfall, as they were resting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur experienced something unusual. He found that brickbats were being thrown about from different directions. He thought, "How is this happening and why? Who would throw big brickbats like this?" Then he had some apprehension that there might be ghosts living there, creating disturbances. He began loudly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After some time, the disturbance disappeared, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta passed the rest of the night there peacefully. In the morning, they entered the village and began visiting different holy places. After some time, one of the local gentlemen noticed them and said, "You entered our village early this morning. Where do you come from, and where did you spend the night?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, "We stayed in that temple just outside the village there." One of them said, "Oh, how could you stay there? So many ghosts live there and throw stones and bricks at anyone who passes by that place at night. How could you stay there?" Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "Yes, you are right. But when I found such a disturbance there, I began to loudly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and subsequently the problem disappeared." The men of the village then asked Bhaktivinoda, "Who are you, and where are you coming from?" Then they came to know that he was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They had already heard of him, and some of them had read his books. They welcomed the two of them and showed them all the holy places they had not yet seen. At one point they said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "The gentleman who was formerly the priest of that temple was transformed into a ghost after his departure. Since that time, we've regularly seen the disturbances caused by that ghost. Why did he become a ghost? As the priest of that temple, he used to regularly chant the holy name of Krishna. We are witness to that fact. We have all heard him. Why was he turned into a ghost? We cannot understand this. Please explain." Bhaktivinoda Thakur told them that the priest must have only repeated the syllables of the name, the Naam Akshar. What he was producing was only a mayic sound, a physical lip-deep sound. It did not have the spiritual essence. The life of the name was absent when he was chanting. It was Naam Aparad, offensive chanting. Bhaktivinoda asked them, "What was his character?" They said, "He was not a good man. He committed many sinful acts. That we know. But we can't deny the fact that he used to chant the name of the Lord almost always. How could he become a ghost?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that the physical sound of the name is not the name proper. The priest had been committing offences to the holy name, Nam Aparad, and as a result he became a ghost. They asked, "Then how can he be released from that wretched condition?" Bhaktivinoda said, "If he meets a bona fide sadhu who has a genuine connection with Krishna, and he hears the real name or the proper explanation of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, then he may be released from his ghostly condition. It is mentioned in the scriptures that this is the only way to become free from the entanglement of material nature." After this discussion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left Kulinagram. From that day on, all the troubles caused by the ghost at the temple in Kulinagram ceased. The villagers were astonished. One of them said, "That priest who had become a ghost must have been released from his ghostly condition after hearing the holy name chanted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur." When the trouble began, Bhaktivinoda loudly chanted the name, and gradually by hearing the holy name of Krishna from his holy lips, that suppressed soul has been liberated from his condition as a ghost. After that, many people journeyed to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They would tell him, "We are confident that you are a great Vaishnava. After hearing the holy name of Krishna from your lips, a ghost has been released." This story was published in the newspapers, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada used to recount this story of his own experience with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The point is that simply the external sound of the name is not the real name. The most important thing is the spiritual realization backing the name. That is the real name. Otherwise, a tape recorder can pronounce that holy name of Krishna. Even a parrot can pronounce the name. But the physical sound is not the thing itself. In the background, there must be spiritual truth, which is conscious. That super knowledge is beyond the knowledge of this mundane plane. This understanding is confirmed by Rupa Goswami Prabhu in his verse, "Natak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriye Sevan Mukkehi Jivado Svayameva Spuratya Daha." He says that Krishna's name, form, qualities, and eternal associates, everything about him, is not mundane but purely spiritual. It cannot be perceived by our gross senses. Simply by vibrating the sound Krishna, our tongues cannot produce Krishna, our noses cannot catch the transcendental fragrance of his body, our eyes cannot have a vision of his beautiful figure, which is supramental. This is true not only for our physical senses, but for the mind also. Our minds cannot conceive of Krishna. He is transcendental and supramental. His existence transcends all the knowledge in our possession. We cannot be the subject and make Krishna our object. He is the subject. He exists beyond both the Atma and Paramatma. We should never forget that. We should always be mindful of the plane in which he exists. As finite souls, we are tathashta jivas, the marginal potency of the Lord. The tiny soul can think and know only those things which are more gross than himself. But in trying to know that which is more subtle than himself, he is helpless. A connection with that higher spiritual realm is only possible when the higher area wants to bring the lower up into that plane. Therefore, to understand him is possible only through surrender. Sevan Mukkehi Jivado. If we can accept the current of surrender, if we can die as we are and surrender our innermost self at his disposal, his will can easily carry us up to the spiritual platform. Our soul will become as a blade of grass in that current, and so be carried up into the centre of the infinite. It is not that we can enter there and walk proudly, as we do here in this gross material world. Here we walk on our feet, but there we shall walk with our heads. Only by the Lord's grace upon our heads can we attract that plane to take us up. Everything there is qualitatively higher than our own existence. The substance of that divine realm, the atmosphere, the air, the ether, everything there is higher than any value we might have. Only those with a sincere spirit of service may be allowed to enter there. And there they will be taken to the highest position of divine love by the residents of that plane, who are venerable, generous, affectionate, and filled with good wishes. We have as our prospect the chance to go there, but always as a matter of grace, and never as a matter of right. We must accept this creed from the beginning. Still, the atmosphere there is so happy and loving that no one there feels any distinction between slave and master. A slave there has no sense of being a slave. Everyone is family. Having attained the state of divine slavery, one should consider, I am a slave. The generosity of Krishna and his eternal associates is my wealth. But by the power of Yoga Maya, those who are taken up into that plane forget that they are slaves. That is the greatness and magnanimity of that atmosphere where love is intensely flowing. It is really by their love and not by our own fortune that we may somehow gain entrance into that high and noble land. But to realize this, we must realize the spiritual position of Krishna's name, form, and eternal associates. Krishna's name is not material. We cannot capture the name of Krishna simply by vibrating the syllables of the name with our tongue. Ravan wanted to capture Sita Devi and thought that he had done so. But the fact was that he could not even touch the holy body of Sita Devi. What Ravan captured was only a mundane representation of Sita Devi, a material double, an imitation which was like a statue of Sita Devi. Sita Devi herself is another thing. She is not made of flesh and blood. For a person here in this world, Sita Devi and her divine plane is not at all approachable. A mundane person cannot see, feel or enter that plane, or to speak of the possibility of snatching Sita Devi and taking her away. The scriptures have explained that Sita's capture was all show. Ravan was cheated. Of course, the apparent kidnapping of Sita by Ravan was done to serve some purpose, to teach something to the people of this mundane world. But in the real sense, no Ravan can come in connection with any of the eternal associates of the Lord who are living in Vaikuntha. In the same way, no mundane person can touch the Vaikuntha name simply by imitating its sound. Recently, I was asked about a young boy who had been killed in an accident. I was told that he shouted the name of Krishna at the time of death. I was asked, what was his destination? I explained that whether one is young or old in the plane of flesh and blood is no qualification for spiritual attainment. One's mentality must be examined. According to the particular time and place and the conception of the person involved, that sound may be the genuine name, or it may be Nam Abhas, the shadow of the real name. When Gandhi was shot, he cried, Ram, Ram. He was shot in the chest and his spectacles were thrown into the street. Within half an hour he passed away, but he pronounced the words Ram, Ram. He was on his way to deliver a religious lecture, but his mentality was full of thoughts of national progress. So in his case, the vibration of the name may have worked in the plane of nation-building. To understand a person's destination at the time of death, we must ask, what was his mentality? Sometimes chanting the name may result in Nam Abhas, the shadow of the name. Whether or not it is Shuddha Nam, the genuine name, depends on the mental system of the person chanting the name. It depends on his relation towards Krishna, his intention. A few days before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. Hearing this, a tantric brahmana came to give some advice to the Lord. Pandit, he said, you are a scholar. You know the scriptures. Still you are chanting the name Gopi, Gopi. What benefit will you get from that? The scriptures say that if you chant the name of Krishna, you may get some benefit. You will find this in many places in the scriptures, especially in the Puranas. Then why do you chant Gopi, Gopi? Angered at the Brahmana's ignorance, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of a follower of the gopis, picked up a stick and began to rebuke him. You've come from the enemy camp to convert us into followers of Krishna? He ran after the Brahmana to beat him with his stick. In this example, we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Gopi, Gopi, and neglecting the name of Krishna. Apparently, he was advised to take the name of Krishna and became enraged. But what is the underlying thought there? If we are to understand the effect of someone's chanting of the holy name, we must consider his underlying purpose. Sometimes his chanting may have some effect, but not always. Still, Jiva Goswami mentions the following example as evidence that the holy name may have some effect even if one is unaware of its full meaning. Once, a wild boar attacked a Mohammedan, and the Mohammedan cried, Haram, Haram. Haram means that abominable hog. On the other hand, Ha Rama means the Lord, who has allowed a hog to attack me. Somehow, Lord Rama was invoked, and the holy name had a divine influence on the Mohammedan, who attained liberation. Another example given in the scriptures is that of Valmiki. Before becoming a saint, the sage Valmiki was a dacoit. But the great saint Narad had a plan to benefit him. Narad thought, this person is the most notorious and heinous dacoit I have ever seen. Let me experiment with him to see the potency of the holy name. I shall ask him to chant the holy names of Rama. He tried, but Valmiki could not pronounce the holy name of Rama. Then Narad told him to chant Mara, the word for murder, instead. The dacoit said, yes, I can do this. This is just the opposite of the name of Ram. He began to chant Mara, 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 Rama, 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 Rama. In this way, after some time, Mara became Rama. Valmiki began to chant the name of Rama, and gradually his mental attitude changed. So it is possible for the name to have an effect on someone, even if he has no proper conception of the meaning. This is called Nam Abhas, the shadow of the name. It can affect liberation. But a real devotee is not interested in liberation. He wants to enter the domain of divine service. The sound and its effects depend upon the attitude we accept and the quality we can conceive, because the actual Vaikuntha Nam is infinite. In that plane, The divine name is equal to the substance named. When the sound aspect is one and the same with the original aspect of the thing, that is Vaikuntha Nam. Here in this world, a blind man's name may be Padmalochan, lotus-eyed, but really he may be blind. The name and the figure may be entirely different. But in Vaikuntha, in the infinite world, the name and the named are one and the same. Yet to experience the Vaikuntha Nam, one must avoid both Nam Aparad, offences to the holy name, and Nam Abhas, the shadow of the holy name. By Nam Abhas, we get some relief from this worldly bondage, and by Nam Aparad, we become entangled in this mayic world. But the ordinary physical sound cannot represent the real name, which is supernatural. It is said that one name of Krishna can remove more ignorance and sin than a man has the power to commit. But what is the quality of that one name? We may chant the physical name of Krishna so many times without getting the result of even one real name. There is a great difference between the ordinary sound of the name, the superficial mayic name, and the pure name. The pure name is one and the same with Krishna, but that descends down to our level only by His grace. We cannot vibrate it simply by dint of our moving our tongue and our lips. The pure name of Krishna is not lip-deep, but heart-deep. And it ultimately goes beyond the heart and reaches the land of Krishna. When Krishna comes down, the name Krishna comes through the heart and moves the lips and tongue. That vibration is the holy name of Krishna, Krishna Nam. When Krishna, in the form of sound, descends from the transcendental world into the heart, and from the heart, controlling every aspect of the nervous system, comes to the lips and begins dancing there, that is Krishna Nam. The initiative is in the transcendental world. That sound is not produced from the physical plane. The spiritual sound has to come down into this plane. He can come down, but we cannot so easily go up there. He is the super subject. We are an object to him. We cannot interfere with his independence. Only by the negative power of surrender can we attract the supreme positive to come down to our level. And so the holy name is not a production of our senses. It can be realized only when we approach him with a very intense serving attitude. At that time, Krishna himself may come down by his grace, being attracted by our serving nature. Then he can influence this element and produce transcendental sound and dance within the mundane plane. That is the holy name, the Vaikuntha Nam, the real name of Krishna. We cannot produce it with our lips. The sound we create with our physical or mental production is not Krishna. He is independent from whatever sound we may produce. And yet, because he controls everything, he can appear anywhere, in any form, in any plane, in any sound. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Krishna says, "When I come here by the power of my internal potency, I remove the external potency's influence and appear anywhere and everywhere. The mundane wave is forced back, just as a plane rides in the sky and pushes back the influence of air and wind as it forcibly passes. By removing the influence of the material waves, he appears within this world by the strength of his own force." The Lord says, I have my own potency, and by the power of that potency, I remove this gross material energy. And so I live and move here in this world. The laws of material nature cannot apply to him. He has special power, and with the help of that special power, he subdues the laws of material nature and comes here. He does whatever he wants with his own potency. Wherever he goes, the laws of material nature withdraw from that place and give him his way. In this way, he can appear within the realm of sound as the holy name. The real importance of the name is not to be found merely in the arrangement of its syllables, but in the deep meaning within that divine sound. Some scholars argue that in the Kalishantarana Upanishad, Lord Brahma says that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is properly pronounced only when the name of Rama precedes the name of Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. In the Kalishantarana Upanishad, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is given in that way. But to say that the name of Ram must precede the name of Krishna in the mantra is a superficial understanding. It is said that because it comes from the Upanishads, the Hare Krishna mantra is a Vedic mantra, and therefore, because the ordinary people may not have any entrance into Vedic mantras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu readjusted this mantra by reversing the order of the words. In that way, it is said, the concern that it is a Vedic mantra is thereby cancelled, and so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to all without breaching the injunctions of the Vedas. Some devotees in Uttar Pradesh, who have great affection for Sri Chaitanya Dev, like to give this opinion. But our faith is that the mentioning of Hare Rama first is only superficial. It concerns the idea that since the Rama avatar appeared first and the Krishna avatar afterwards, the name of Ram, Hare Rama, should come first in the Mahamantra. A deeper reading will consider that when two similar things are connected together, the priority will be ordered not on the basis of historical precedent, but in consideration of the most highly developed conception. The holy name of Krishna is higher than the holy name of Rama. This is mentioned in the Puranas. Three names of Rama equal one name of Krishna. The name of Krishna is superior to the name of Rama. Where the two are connected together, the first position should be given to the one that is superior. Therefore, the name of Krishna must come first in the Mahamantra. This is one point. Another point is that within the eternal plane, everything is moving in a cyclic order. In an eternal cycle, which is first and which is next cannot be ascertained. And so in the eternal plane of Leela, it cannot be determined whether Krishna is before Ram or Ram is before Krishna. So from that consideration also, since the names of Krishna and Ram are eternal and unrelated to any historical event, we may begin the mantra from any place. But above these considerations, our Sampradaya has given another, higher consideration. A deeper understanding will reveal that the Hare Krishna mantra is not at all concerned with Rama Leela. In the name of Rama within the Hare Krishna mantra, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas will find Radha Ramana Rama. That means Krishna who gives pleasure, Raman, to Srimati Radharani. In our conception, the Hare Krishna mantra is wholesale Krishna consciousness, not Ram consciousness. Sri Chaitanya's highest conception of things is always Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna Leela, Radha Govinda Leela. That is the real purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent and teachings. In that consideration, the Hare Krishna mantra does not mention the Rama Leela of Ayodhya at all. There is no connection with that in the highest conception of the Hare Krishna mantra. And the inner conception of the mantra is responsible for our spiritual attainment. When one pronounces the name Ram, if he means Dasarathi Ram, his attraction will take him there, to Ayodhya. If he means Parashuram, he will be attracted to another place. And if Ram means Radha Ramana Rama, he will go to Golok. The inner conception of the devotee will guide him to his destination. My original name was Ramendra Chandra. When I was given initiation, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave me the name Ramendra Sundar. I asked him, what is the meaning of Ramendra? He told me, in our consideration, Rama does not mean Dasarathi Ram or Lord Ramachandra, the son of King Dasarath. It means Radha Raman Ram, Krishna the lover of Radharani. The name Hare may also mean different things according to one's conception. That the meaning of the word Hare in the mantra is taken to mean Radharani is also determined according to the spiritual development or qualification, adhikar, of the chanter. When one is firmly established in conceiving of Radha Krishna in the background of everything, when one finds Swayam Rup, the original form of Godhead, underlying all sorts of conceptions of all things good, then only will he find that sort of meaning and nothing else. For beginners, the word Hare in the Hare Krishna mantra can be conceived to mean Hari. That is one meaning. It may also mean Narsinghadev. And just as Rama can mean Dasarathi Ram, Krishna may refer to different types of Krishna. There is also a Krishna in Vaikuntha, where the Vaibhavas, or extensions of the Lord, number 24. In Vaikuntha, first there is Narayan, and then four extensions, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Each of these four has five agents, making 24 in all. One of these is the Krishna of Vaikuntha. Then there is the Krishna of Dwarka and the Krishna of Mathura. In this way there are various conceptions of Krishna. But the highest conception of Krishna is Krishna in Vrindavan, Radha Govinda. When one cannot remove himself from that plane, he will conceive of divinity only as Hari Hara. He will see nothing else but Radha Krishna. Those who are completely and perfectly installed in Madhura Rasa, who have the highest kind of divine vision, cannot come down from that plane. If they do, it is only for the interest of Radha Govinda. In that case, the devotee may go anywhere, but his real interest is under lock and key in Vrindavan. Only on behalf of the service of Radha Govinda will a devotee leave Vrindavan. For those who are followers of the Vrindavan line, Hare in the Hare Krishna mantra can only mean Hara, Srimati Radharani. Hara means Radha, who can even snatch the attention of Krishna, Hari. The word Harana means to steal. One who can steal the mind of he who is most expert in stealing, who can steal even the mind of Krishna, she is Hara. Stealing in its highest capacity is shown by Radharani. And Krishna means he who is most attractive in the absolute sense. They are both represented in the mantra. The followers of the Rupanuga Sampradaya can never deviate from that consciousness in their chanting of the Maha Mantra. And with this conception, they go on with the service of Hari Hara, Radha Krishna. They absorb themselves in Radha Dasyam. They cannot think of anything else but that. And once having fully attained that plane, they can never come down from that level, from the interest of Radha Krishna. They cannot allow themselves to be out of that circle. That is the position of our highest aspiration. And according to a devotee's adhikar, or spiritual qualification, that sort of meaning will awaken in one's mind. It will be awakened, discovered by sadhana. At that time the covering of the heart will be removed, and divine love will spontaneously spring up from the fountain of the heart as the inner function of the soul.
End of chapter 8, entitled The Holy Name.